So we continue tonight with the introduction to Pesukei Dezimra, beginning with Baruch Sha'amar. So Chazal instituted Pesukei Dezimra as a form of hachana, of preparation for davening. We know that we can't just jump into davening saying Shema. We said last week or 2 weeks ago that it requires a certain level of preparation, of getting ourselves in the mindset. So we say Shema during Karbanos, and then this way we're prepared to say it again when it really counts. Before that, before Shema, we say these Prakim and Psukim of Tehillim. But before that, the bookends of Pesukei Dezimra is Baruch Sha'amar and Yishtabach, right? So right after that, we have the paragraph of Hodu. We're going to come back to Baruch Sha'amar. But Hodu starts, Hod v'hadar lefanav oz v'chedva bimkomo. Glory and majesty are before him. Might and joy are in his place. So Hod is literally translated as glory. But it can also refer to, Rishwab says it refers to an echo. Why? Where does he get this idea from? V'nasata mehodcha alav, that you should give some of your glory to him. Right, so what happens when you give of yourself? It's like bouncing back. It's like that echo where you hear something and then that same thing is coming back to you. So if I'm giving of myself, I've absorbed goodness, I've absorbed glory, I've created glory for myself, I'm able to give it back to you. So in the pasuk, V'nasata mehodcha alav, Yehoshua was meant to echo and emulate his Rebbe, Moshe Rabbeinu. So Rav Schwab says that when we come and we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're saying, Hashem, we love you so much. You're so great. You have glory. You have wisdom. You have power. You have strength. You have majesty. Everything. We love you. Everything is yours. So Hashem answers back. There's that echo. V'nasata mehodcha. We say, Hod v'hadar lefanav. We want some of that goodness, some of that echo, some of that glory to bounce back to us. And so Hashem says, I love you too. And maybe that's the Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li. Hashem is for us. When we turn to Hashem and we say, Ani L'Dodi, when we begin to praise Hashem, Hashem comes back and says, I love you as well. Perhaps that's why the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch refers to Tefillah as Rinas Dodim, a joyful song of lovers. It's back and forth. It's not just a one-sided soliloquy, but there's a dialogue. And so tefillah is not just a one-sided exercise. It begins with praises, expressing our desire to please Hashem, to do what we can to please Hashem. But then Hashem returns this love to us and sends his brachos, which is how we know that he's pleased with what we're doing. Right? The brachos that Hashem promises us in the Torah, he sends those back our way. And so similarly, if that's hod, if hod is a type of echo, so hadar literally means, hadar could also mean to return, right? Hidur could be. Hadran, right? Mm-hmm. Hadran, I'm going to return to you. So Hadar is, I'm going to respond, I'm going to return to you. So when we praise Hashem, he echoes, he returns his love to us. And therefore, oz v'chedva b'mkomo, strength and joy emanate from him, as a result of our joyful singing of Pesukei Dezimra to Hashem, Hashem responds to us. Now there's a fascinating Gemara in Brachos and Dav Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, how do we know that Hashem davens? Which is obviously difficult to understand. What is Hashem? Who's Hashem davening to, right? Why is he davening, huh? So why is he wearing tefillin? When he davens, he wears tefillin. Oh. So Amar Rav Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Yossi. Minayin Shakadosh Baruch Hu Mispalel. How do we know? The Gemara just takes for granted Hashem davens, but how do we know it? Pasuk tells us. So have Yosim El Harkod Shivisimach Timbeves Tefillah. See, so the pasuk says that we're going to bring to the mountain of holiness, and we'll be happy in beveist filasis, in my prayer house, my house of prayer. So the Gemara says tefilasam lo namar. It doesn't say their prayer, right? There's a house that Hashem's Shechina comes down to, and he's willing to dwell there, but it's not his house of prayer, it's their house of prayer. I just happen to come and visit every once in a while. I live here. This is where my Shechina lives. But it's not my tefillah. It's not tefillah si. It's not tefillah si, it's tefillah sam. But that's not what the pasuk says. The pasuk says, "V'havi osim lahar kodshivus imachtim beveis tefilasi." It's my prayer. So says the Gemara, "Tefilasi mikancha kodesh baruch hu mispalel." So if it's tefilasi, if Hashem is saying my tefila, it must be that Hashem davens also. My matzli. So what does Hashem daven? Or maybe a better question is, to whom does Hashem daven? What does Hashem say when he davens? Amar Rav Zutra bar Tovya, Amar Rav. So Rav Zutra, the son of Tovya, says in the name of Rav, Yihi Ratzon Milfanai, it should be my will. Right? We said a couple of weeks ago, but what does it mean, Yihi Ratzon Milfanecha? That it should be, somehow it should rise to Hashem, and our will and His will should jive. So Hashem is saying that my will should be, Sheyichpishu Rachamei Es Kasi. That my mercy should overcome, overpower, should be able to subdue my anger. Right, we know that Hashem gets angry. The Gemara talks about that also. Hashem gets angry. When does Hashem get angry? When we sin, when we do chatoim, right. Right. So if Hashem looks down at the earth and He sees His children sinning, so what does a parent do when they see their child misbehave? They get upset. So Hashem gets angry, right? I gave you the Torah. I told you, v'char to v'chayim. I mean, what are you doing? You're choosing narishkeit. Huh?
No, I'm trying to give him 5 minutes.
You know, right, so he gives us years, right? When you talk about the time of Noah, he had hundreds, 100 years that they could have done shuvah, and it didn't happen. So Hashem is patient, 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 but at a certain point, ad kan. So at that point, even then Hashem is davening, let me have more rachmanas on them. V'yagolu rachamei al midosai, and my rachamim should overcome the midas adin, ve'es nahegim im banai b'midas rachamim. And I should conduct myself with my children with mercy. Ve'akanes lahem lefnim mishuras adin. And not only should I be merciful, but I should be able to go above and beyond, right? Really, they deserve strict judgment. They deserve to be punished. They deserve the wrath that they've, you know, stirred up within me. But I want to be able to be calm. So what does this mean? How do we understand this? So Hashem is anticipating our own tefillos. Hashem's not davening. He's not davening to himself that he has to be misakin his midos and I have to work on myself and I should be able to balance my anger with my compassion and my mercy. There's no point in which Hashem is ever out of, emotionally unregulated. Hashem always has everything in balance because Hashem is perfect and Hashem can be angry and happy at the same time, which is something we can't do, but Hashem can. So what does this mean? It's that Hashem is anticipating our own tefillos. He wants us to daven. And so he expresses his own tefillah, and he awaits our tefillos by virtue of which his mercy is going to overcome his harsh decree against us. Because when we come and daven, we praise Hashem, and Hashem sees that we're taking time out of our day, and we're davening with kavana, and we really mean it, and we're trying to do tshuva, and we're trying to reconnect and to enhance our dveikus with Hashem. So I can't be angry. That's not the person I was angry at. That's a different person. That person is not the person who was doing that chait. So I can't be angry. I'm not going to punish them. So really what it means is that Hashem wants, it's almost like a tefillah of Hashem that we should do the right thing.
Right. So the Hashem is this palo that Klal Yisrael should follow the Torah, follow his edicts. Then why wouldn't it, in other words, like it happened, it should automatically prevail on human psyche that they're going to follow that way. They wouldn't go off the path because Hashem is, He's already putting it in you psychologically, spiritually, whatever you want to call it. I don't know if you know the right words, but it doesn't work out that way. So I don't. His tefillah is not being accepted by Klal Yisrael, it confuses me.
Okay, it's a very good question. What you're really asking is that if Hashem is davening that we should not stray, and we shouldn't be overcome by our yetzer hara, that really He should be able to be Noheg with us, b'midas ha-rachamim, lefnim mishur ha-sadim. We shouldn't even need lefnim mishur ha-sadim. We should just have rachamim, we should deserve it. So really what you're asking is that's going to change our Bechira Chavshis. Right? We're not going to have a choice. If Hashem is davening that my children should behave properly, and we hear it, then how could we deviate? How could we veer from it? So the answer is that we can. Hashem is not taking away our Bechira. He's expressing his hope that we do the right thing. And it's his desire that we approach him with Ava and Yira in the context of Tefillah. And so maybe when we do this, then he's able to respond in kind. And we know, unfortunately, sometimes we don't. But that's one of the operating principles of the world, is that Hashem is not going to force us. He's just expressing a wish, right? So as a parent, you can understand how you can express a wish to your child or to your grandchild or to your great-grandchild at this point, Kanai Nara. You can express a wish, but they don't always listen. So you can even be Hashem and express a wish, but he doesn't want to interfere, right? There's certain ways that the world works, and he's not going to tinker with that. But we see, based from the Gemara, how much it means to Hashem. And if you think about tefillah that way, that Hashem is—he's waiting. He wants me to be here. It's not just that I need to come here. Some people, they think they just have to daven, right? It's meaningless. It's worthless. I don't connect to it. Okay, you don't connect to it, but Hashem is waiting for you. Hashem wants you to be here. He was waiting for your tefillos. He davened this morning that you should come to daven this morning, and mincha, and maariv, so that he can give you all of the brachos that he promised to us. So good, it's not meaningful to you right now. But there's something more than you. Look beyond yourself. It's a tremendous opportunity. So what Rav Schwab says so beautifully is that our relationship with Hashem is not merely that of a mekubal with the mashpia, which is a recipient to a donor, right? Where you put your hand out like this and, can I have some? We're desperate, we're dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we are. And it's not like a child who puts their hand out for something from their parents. But rather, he says, it's a mashpia to a mashpia. One person can influence, not a person, but Kaviyachal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem is waiting for us. There's this, I don't want to say we're equals. It's not equal. But there's some impact that we can have. Hashem is waiting for us. And so we ourselves become the cause of our own, we become the reason that we're zocha to the brachos that we receive. Right? So which is very empowering. It's a very empowering idea that we become the cause of our own bracha by initiating, by strengthening the relationship, by initiating contact with HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the context of tefillah. We become zocha to what Hashem wants to do for us. So this is a deeper relationship than merely being the recipient of a bracha, but rather there's an involvement here. There's a responsibility. There's an opportunity for us to work together. And maybe that's what Habocher B'Shirei Zimra, he who chooses songs of praise, what does it mean Hashem chooses songs of praise? He's chosen to bestow his brachos on the people who choose to praise him. So when we have a beautiful song that we're able to sing to Hashem, then he relates to us as one giver to another. And that really is the meaning and the purpose of Pesukei de Zimra. You had a question?
Well, I was thinking the perfect example is Hashem gave us a Torah, right?
Right.
He didn't take the free will because he gave us. He wants us to, but we can put your effort for the Torah. The other thing that I see, we have this, let me call it give and take if you want, but what prompted Hashem to give us the Torah in the first place? What was our fila, or what was our reason for Hashem to give us the Torah?
It was the tzidkus of the Avos. Hashem saw somebody like Avraham Avinu and said, I'm going to give your children, your Dore Doros, your descendants.
But the Torah was before.
Well, the Torah existed, right? Histakel b'araisa bara alma. Hashem looked at the Torah in order to create the world. So the world exists based on operating principles that we can derive from the Torah. But in terms of who to give it to, it wasn't until Avram came along and established, that he was worthy, that he was righteous in a generation of wicked people, and he was able to identify and relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not only himself, but to try and share that relationship with others, that's what made us worthy. and that we can trace our lineage back, all of us, back to Avram Avinu.
So this is a very good proof then of the theory that we are presenting, how tefillah definitely results in a reciprocity.
Right, exactly.
Thank you.
Yeah. I have a foolish thought. But
no foolish thought. Don't judge.
No, in other words, Hashem,
you just have a thought. Let's start again. Let's start again.
What?
Start again without that.
Okay. We have the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara. He created the world. He created man with that way. That we have choice, free choice.
Right.
Since Hashem knows from long before that man is going to. Generally, the Yetzer Hara is going to overtake the Yetzer Tov in most cases. Then he could interact, in other words, to strengthen, when he did his tefillos, to strengthen everybody's Yetzer Tov and lessen the Yetzer Hara. In other words, give you a break. I'm going to give you 10 more points. If you answer this question, you're going to get 110. So I'm giving you a freebie. Not just leave it open, but give you a freebie because of our frailties. So of course we know. Let's give him a break.
Right.
I don't know. I'm not expressing exactly.
I think the strength comes from the fact that we're involved in Avodas Hashem. So we say mitzvah goreres mitzvah. If a person is focused on tefillah, and start out with Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamid, that you have this constant awareness or consciousness, even if it's not a real consciousness, but it's a subconsciousness when you're involved in other things. But if you're at work and you're busy and you're going from one office to another and you take a drink and you have this subconsciousness that now comes out, I need to make a bracha because I'm a Jew and I have this relationship with Hashem. If that relationship is always there and that's strengthened through tefillah, through gemilas chasadim, through limud haTorah, all those things strengthen the relationship so that we're able to push away the yetzer hara. But the yetzer hara gets stronger, right? The bigger tzaddik you are, the stronger the yetzer hara has to be. But the momentum that you can build up by davening, by learning tefillah as we are together for so many weeks, and being able to appreciate the koach haTefillah, but not just the koach haTefillah in terms of the power of the words, but the relationship and the impact that it has on us. And what we see tonight is not only the impact on us, but the impact up in Shemayim that we don't even understand. And so the impact that it'll have on Klal Yisrael and the world at large, all of that is a way of fighting back against the Yetzer Hara.
It's like even Stephen, you have your choice.
It's not even. We don't know what's even. We don't know.
In other words,
we'll come back, me and you, after 120, we'll go up to Shemayim, Mirtz Hashem, and then we'll see what really is even Stephen. But
well,
until then, we just...
You have the choice. Yetzer Tov, Yetzer Hara, you could go one way and you could go the other way, or someplace in between.
I don't know. I'm getting a little far. Rav Dessler says that sometimes you actually can't, that the Yetzer Hara wins. That you reach a certain point where if you haven't been able to be Mekayim a certain mitzvah, so Yossi Norowitz and I like to talk about this. So figure it's a battle line, right? So let's say the Yetzer Hara is on this side and the Yetzer Tov is on that side. So if I'm over here, so the Yetzer Hara is all the way over there. There's no way that I'm going to be able to get from here to there because the Yetzer Hara has me so much. I'm stuck. I can't move. But if I'm over here and I just have to go a little bit closer, then I can do. He calls that the Nekudas HaBechira. Right? That's the point. This line is the point of demarcation where I could go either way. If I'm back here, I can't. And if I'm over there, for sure not. The Yetzer Hara has nothing on me. I won't even entertain it. Get out. That's ridiculous. But if I'm in the back, so that's where some days, tefillah is back here. Right? You feel like you just can't focus. Okay, so tomorrow morning you'll wake up with different kochos and nefesh, and maybe tefillah you'll be over here. So every opportunity in Avodas Hashem is another brand new chance to fight back against the Yetzer Hara. Never give up. Never, ever, because it never gives up. So Pesukah de Zimmer goes back to this Bayis Sheni. The Mishnah says, "Chasidim harishonim hayushom sha'achas lefnei atfilah umispalalim." The most pious used to wait an hour before davening. They would wait. So says Rabbi Wolgamuth's father, Zechron Levracha, what do you think they did in that hour? Sorry?
What's the word?
Hespodidos. That they were meditating. They were focusing. Perhaps.
I don't know if the Gemara says so in Brachos, so that they may have they meditated, yes. But they also, tefillah means Shemon Esrei. So, and also part of it was saying Birchas HaShachar and all Baruch Shomar until Gula, until
right.
God Israel.
Right.
So that was part of their meditating.
Right. But the meditation is not just chanting mantras, as the Buddhists do today, right? That's not. I mean, that's a separate issue. But that it was part of the. It was they were singing, right? When you meditate, you sing a little bit, you relax. So they're singing. They're getting themselves uplifted to get into the spirit of being able to daven. They were reciting Tehillim, which is also what Pesukei Dezember is all about. So why is it such an important prelude to Shema and Shemona Esrei? So number one, it helps us focus before we get to Shema and Shemona Esrei. Number two, he says we can't actually praise God. Right? Who are we? We're little. I was driving with my daughter last week. She said, "Why did Hashem create gnats? Mosquitoes, I don't know. There's got to be some reason for mosquitoes. They're pretty lethal, but they must bring something from one place to another. What's the point of a gnat? And that's like a nuisance." I remember walking to, say, Tashlich on Rosh Hashanah, from here to Summit, and there was swarms of gnats. They were everywhere. And had I not been wearing glasses, it would have been all over my face. It was my hat, my jacket, it was covered in gnats. So what is the point? What's the tafkid of a gnat in the world? So I think part of it is, you know, to make us feel like we're so little. We're nothing. And I, later that day, was Zocha to spend many hours with Rav Asher Weiss Shlita, and I really felt it. You feel like you're nothing. Like, here's a Gadol Hador, and me, I'm just, I try my best. I'm an Eved Hashem, I'm a Ben Torah, I try to be a Ben Aliyah. But we're nothing. So the gnats, like, they think they're so chashuv, there's a whole swarm of them, and yet, just blow them away. So we can't praise Hashem. Who are we to praise Hashem? So in order to praise Hashem, we first need to understand, like, when you want to praise somebody, you need to understand, what did they do for me? Right? Or maybe not for me, but what are their strengths? What are they good at? And what would they appreciate hearing? What do they value in themselves that makes them unique, that differentiates them from other people? That if I tell them, you're a great, right? If you were to tell me, I'm a great baker, I would laugh. I can make maybe chocolate chip cookies on a snow day, but I'm not a great baker. If you tell me I'm a great, I don't know, something else, then maybe I'll, you have to know who I am in order to praise me in a way that's going to be believable and accurate and realistic. So do we understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be able to praise Him? No, of course not. But we need to praise Him. We have Pesukei Dezember. What do? So what we do is we find somebody else who is greater than ourselves. Who praised Hashem? Did David HaMelech know who HaKadosh Baruch Hu really is in His essence? For sure not. But He's greater than we are. And He did His best. And it turned out pretty beautifully. And so what we're doing is, we're using the license of David HaMelech having composed Tehillim to praise Hashem. We're using David's playbook. If it worked for him, so we're going to like hide in his footsteps, literally. We're smaller, not as good as he is. But if he did it, then we can follow his lead, because he didn't understand the Kadosh Baruch Hu fully either. So we move on to Baruch She'amar. The beginning of Pesukei Dezimra, Yishtabach at the end. We begin by saying, Baruch She'amar v'haya ha'olam baruch hu. Blessed he who spoke and the world came into being. Blessed is he. But we remember 2 weeks ago, when we relayed Parshas Yisro here in Shul, that Hashem introduced himself to us in a very different way. Right? We're saying, Baruch She'amar v'haya ha'olam. Blessed is he who spoke and the world came into being. Is that the way Hashem relates to Klal Yisrael? If you open up the Dibros, if you open up Yisro or the Eschanan, what are you going to find? Anochi Hashem Elokecha asher hotzeicha me'aretz Mitzrayim. I'm Hashem, your God, who took you out of Egypt. So why do we begin Pesukei Dezimra? We're praising Hashem. We're going to follow David's lead. We're going to try and praise Hashem, even though we can't really relate to Hashem. And so we're praising Him in a way that He doesn't relate to us. It's a little confusing. So Rabbi Dr. Twersky, Shlita, says that the Aseres Hadibros were instructions that govern our behavior. They're restrictive. They restrain us from gratifying our own impulses and desires. And anyone who challenges why we're obligated to adhere to the system of Torah and mitzvos, the answer is, why do I have to keep it? Because Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hotzeicha Me'aretz Mitzrayim. You have a responsibility. I took you out of Egypt, and therefore you have to serve me. I didn't just take you out from one slavery to another. I saved you. And if you weren't serving me, you'd still be Mishubadim, you'd still be enslaved to Paro and Mitzrayim. So it creates a sense of responsibility. But Tefillah, on the other hand, is not a set of restrictions. It's not a set of obligations. It's Avodah Shebelev. It's an opportunity to serve, to connect to Hashem. It's a way of bonding and coming closer to the divine. And so what's the purpose of binding with Hashem? Of bonding with Hashem? Baruch Sha'amar offers us an answer of what the purpose is. In order to believe that tefillah has a purpose, then we first have to believe that there's a tafkid, that there's a purpose to the world that Hashem created. So we know there has to be a purpose because Hashem created the world. Hashem doesn't just do things for no reason. Hashem doesn't just, you know what, I'm going to make a gnat. I feel like making something different than a mosquito. No, there must be some purpose. Elamai, we don't, maybe it's just to, be a Musar Haskell for us. It could be. Hashem created something just for us to realize how little we are. I don't know. But we know that there has to be a purpose in the world because Hashem created the world and we bless Him for it. Baruch Sha'amar V'haya Ha'olam. We thank Hashem for creating the world. And furthermore, we learn from this phrase the power of our own words. Right, which is quite helpful here at the beginning of davening. If we think about the fact that Hashem can just say something, Baruch Sha'amar, what did He do? He said something, V'haya Ha'olam. He speaks, and something exists. He doesn't have to roll up His sleeves. He doesn't get dirty with soil and trees and seeds. It just happens. Yesh me'ayin, literally, ex nihilo. And just as the world can be created with words, so we know, unfortunately, the world can be destroyed with words. A person's world can be destroyed. A family's world can be destroyed. So the structure of Baruch Sha'amar is 10 different aspects of the Shem Havaya. 10 different ways of relating to the Shem HaMefurash. Thank you. Ineffable name of God. Right, each of which is preceded by the word Baruch. Although we can't understand Hashem, the Torah gave us 10 great examples, 10 definitions of the meaning of the Shem HaMefurash, which are recited in the first part of the bracha, Baruch Sha'amar, and the second part is the body of the bracha itself. So there's a minhag for men to hold tzitzis when they say Baruch Sha'amar. Do you ever wonder why? It says it in the Siddur, everybody does it.
It's Kabbalistic,
okay. I'm going to give you a non-Kabbalistic answer. When you take the two tzitzis in your hands, so two tzitzis are made out of 8 threads. 5 double knots each, right? So 4 and 4 is 8, 5 and 5. So there's 16 threads, 10 double knots, which is equal to the equivalent of the gematria of the Shem Hashem. Yud Kei Vav Kei is 26. So altogether, 16 threads, 10 double knots, we're supposed to be concentrating on the Shem of Hashem. Again, it's another prop, if you will, to help us focus. Right? If that's what Pesukei Zimra is really all about, it's helping us focus as we come closer to Kriya Shema and the Amida. It's a way of helping us focus. So Baruch Sha'amar V'haya Ha'olam, He spoke and the world came into existence. This is the Shem Hashem. Haya Hove V'yiyah. Hashem is Mehave Kol HaBrios. He makes all of the things that exist continue to exist. Hashem sustains it. Haya Ha'olam. And it's based on a pasuk, Vayidaber Elokim Moshe, Vayomer Elav Ani Hashem. Hashem speaks to Moshe and tells him, I am, right, that name, the Shem HaMefurash. And the Mechilta says, Amar Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe, the Medrash says, Hashem speaks to Moshe, Ani Hu She'amarti V'haya Ha'olam. And what does it mean? The Medrash is beautiful. What does it mean, Ani Hashem? What Hashem really means to say, and the Medrash expands upon, is that I am Hashem who said V'haya Ha'olam. Right? That's what that name means. It's only when Hashem speaks that the world exists. But His speech, Hashem's speech is different than our speech. When I speak, Right? You hear my voice so long as there's air passing through my vocal cords. My mouth is open to allow the vibration of the air to come towards you, which then goes through your ear canal, reverberates on your eardrum, goes through your the nerve to your brain, and you're able to register sound. But when Hashem speaks, remember, Hashem has no concept of time. Hashem is not bound by now. So when Hashem speaks, He can go back, present, and future all at the same time. So what Hashem creates through speech can exist now, could exist 10 minutes ago, and will exist 10 minutes into the future. So Hashem is the Hayahov of the year. There's no difference between now and later. And that's why we say Baruch Hu. We praise Hashem for this capacity. Baruch Oseh Ma'aseh Bereishis. He's a creator. Right? That's how we relate to Hashem in this tefillah. Hashem makes things. He's the Oseh. He's Oseh Ma'aseh Bereishis. He's still creating. Right? It's not Asa. It's not Asa Ma'aseh Bereishis. Hashem is still creating today, right now. When I say this tefillah, Baruch Sha'amar, I acknowledge that He's still creating. He's still involved in the Hashkacha of the world. And so He keeps what exists in existence. It's not a one-time Big Bang theory, right? It's a continual. How do we know this? Because in Berachas Kriya Shema we say, Mechadish b'chol yom tamid ma'aseh bereishis. That Hashem is every day is recreating. The sun comes up, it's anew. It's like another bereishis all over again. It's not just because the sun goes down and the sun comes up. Hashem wants the sun to come up. He makes the sun come up for us. So it's another new creation, another new day. And that is the Oseh Ma'aseh Bereishis. He's still doing it now. Hashem makes the sun go down now and the moon comes up. Baruch Omer, yeah. Did you listen to the Shir on Shabbos? What's the Asiyah of Shabbos?
Resting.
Menucha. Menucha is not sleep. For those of you who weren't there, Menucha is not just sleeping. The Asiyah, what Hashem creates on Shabbos, is a meaningful, purposeful, mindful type of rest. For the purpose of resting, because rest did not exist. And the spirit, the nefesh of humanity, needed the introduction of Menucha in order to sustain itself. So your question is what? What did Hashem create? What is Hashem creating on Shabbos? He's still creating the same.
Yeah, but it's kind of like, that's exactly what we're saying.
He didn't do. Right, because then you would say it's just, you know, the process that Hashem set into place.
It's like he was pre-ordained that something like this.
No, the operating principle of the world, there's nature, right? But nature is not just, you know, Mother Nature. Mother Nature is really Father Nature. Father Nature, Avinu Shebashamayim. So Hashem created a series of systems so that the world continues apace, but Hashem is involved and, you know, He oversees it, let's say. Right? That's a good question. Right. Baruch Omer Ve'oseh, He makes His word reality. So our hope, our entire hope on the eventual Geula, which we daven for and believe in every day, is based on the definition that Hashem is going to keep His word, as He did to the Avos when He promised them children, He promised them Sheba Mitzrayim, He promised them Geula, He promised them Eretz Yisrael. And so we know and believe Hashem is an Omer, He says, but He's not just, you know, somebody who talks the talk, He's Oseh, He can do it, He can carry through on it. Baruch Gozer U'Mekayim, He decrees and fulfills them. And this refers, right, so if Omer Va'Oseh refers to our belief in Hashem giving us whatever we deserve, then this is the flip side. The Gozer U'Mekayim, this is for the Rasha'im. Person doesn't uphold that part of the Halacha. So the Pasuk says in Parshas Achrei Most regarding the Arayos, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, I am Hashem your God. And the Medrash in Taras Kohanim says, Ani hu Sheparati Meidor HaMabel U'Me'an Sheisidomim Min HaMitzriyim. Look, I have a track record here. I'm an enforcer. The generation of the Mabul didn't act properly, wiped them out. The generation of Sodom didn't act properly. They didn't learn from their lesson from the Dora Mabul. I wiped them out. I turned them over. Mitzrayim did beyond what they had to do to Bnei Yisrael. They don't exist anymore. They drowned in the sea. Va'asili para mikem en tasu kemaseim. And I'm going to make them, make you, referring to the Rishayim, if you don't hold up your end of the bargain, you're going to pay as well. Then we have Baruch Merachim al Ha'aretz. Hashem praises the one who has mercy on the land. Baruch Merachim al Habrios. And Hashem, again, this refers to the Shem Havayah, which is Midas HaRachamim. The fact that Hashem created the world for us is, in and of itself, an act of rachamim. Even though we said a couple of weeks ago that the Anshei Knesset Sagadola, Nimnu V'Gamru, that it was better not to have been born. Okay, but now that the world exists, that creation of the world was not to punish us, not to trip us up. Hashem wanted to give, He wanted to do chesed. He wanted to share of His goodness with us. And so He created something that we could benefit from. And then Baruch Merachim al Ha'aretz, He created this planet, the Aretz, the land, a unique among any other celestial body that's in just the right place. Right? A couple miles away, we might be sunburned. A couple miles too far, we'd be freezing. This planet is inhabitable for humans, for animals, for vegetation, unlike any others. But this is only one in a million, right? They found 7 more planets last Friday. Thing NASA did, they found a whole new solar system, a whole new system. So we thank Hashem for having Rachmanis on us and creating the world in just the right place. Baruch Merachim al Habrios, we thank Hashem for making us unique among all the other creatures. Hashem created, right? They can walk also, they can eat, but they don't have the Chachma, they don't have the intelligence. Everything else was B'midas Hadin, with a predetermined physical property, and we have Baruch Merachim al Habrios. Hashem had Rachmanos and He created us in a very, very special way. Baruch Meshalim Sachar Tov L'Reyav, referring to Olam Haba. The Pasuk says, Vayomer Hashem, Vayomer Elav Ani Hashem. And Rashi says, Ne'amon L'Shalim Sachar Tov L'Mishalchem Lefanai. That I'm. You should trust me, believe me, that I'm going to repay and reward those who walk in my ways. So the good reward, Sachar Tov, what does that mean? It has to refer to something that's not just good now, but it's always good. It's something that's going to be eternal. And so when it comes to Hashem, it's that which is everlasting and eternal. Baruch Chai La'ad, V'Kayam La'Netzach, He's always living and will exist forever. And that is really the definition of the eternity of Hashem. If Hashem is Chai La'ad, V'Kayam La'Netzach, HaYahovah V'Yeh, He's always going to be. Baruch Poda U'Matzil, and this is based on the first of the Dibra, Anochi Hashem Alokach, Asher Etzisicham Yeretz Yitzrayim, Hashem is a Poda. Hashem has redeemed us. He's redeemed us more times than we can count on our fingers and toes together. And we know that Hashem is always there to save us. And again, this is when Hashem refers to Himself as the Savior, as the Redeemer, rather than as the Creator. And so we've repeatedly benefited from Hashem's role in this capacity as a Poda, because without His continuous redemption of our people, we never would have endured this long. With all the enemies that continue to harass us and, bomb threats and everything else. And finally, Baruch Shemo. Why do we end with Baruch Shemo? Why is that the last of 10? Because really that's all we can do. We acknowledge, despite all of the different iterations, the different ways that we try to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at the end of the day, we can praise Your name. And that's really the most that we can do in praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Questions? Okay, I'll see you next week, Yom Tov Hashem. Have a good night.